Hey everyone, it's Velga here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, we're a little bit behind there with that Philip Rivers news. He's actually 5-6 in the playoffs.
Morons.
Which means he's made the playoffs 6 times.
It was that I was reading from another source. That was not from the statement.
Still not great. Six times in 16 years?
6 times? Yeah, no, it's not great. They're overrated.
How can he make 6 Rivers, times? He's 5-6.
Yeah, they lost all 6 times because they didn't make it to the Super Bowl.
So the only time you go undefeated is when you win a Super Bowl in the playoffs.
So you can make it to the playoffs and not win a game.
That's right.
That's what was throwing me off. If you're 1-1 in the playoffs, you've only been to the playoffs once, not
years.
Twice.
Right.
That works for Brady, but not many others.
Because you have to win to advance.
Got to win the whole thing to have a zero at the end of the loss column.
Thanks.
Right.
Thanks.
Right. So Philip Rivers is leaving the Chargers, and Ian Rappaport says that now opens the door for them to franchise tag Hunter Henry. Oh, great. There's that. I don't know why Philip Rivers had to leave for them to have the chance to tag Hunter Henry.
A lot of money off the book.
Yeah, but they already have money.
Yeah.
They've already got money.
It means they're not going to tag Rivers.
Oh, he just means in terms of the tagging aspect. Listen, nobody thought Philip Rivers was going back there. Nobody thought that. Today they made it official. You watched the XFL over the weekend?
I did. I said, you know what? I'm gonna peek in at this thing and see what the hell it's about.
And?
I tell you what, from a production standpoint, it is night and day from what it was when He Hate Me was in it. It looked more of like a circus atmosphere. This seemed like an actual real TV production with real announcers, with real sideline guys, and okay football was played. Now, you got to get used to the uniforms and the names and that, but I'll tell you what, it was hard hitting. You weren't allowed to basically decapitate receivers along the sideline. And you wouldn't get flagged for it. You could flex over them. So I like that. They had a live mic on the referee when things went to review. And so upstairs, they're showing the replay in a split screen. They're showing the refs down on the field having a conversation with the replay people upstairs. They're saying, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to spot the ball. He's short of the first down. So you're going to go back, you're going to spot it at the 3.5-yard line. You're going to re-tee it up. It's not their ball. It's not turnover on downs. It's actually 4th down and 1. So, I mean, it was pretty damn – like, I like that. The NFL would never do that. You would embarrass the hell out of your referees.
Well, coach to quarterback, they had the live.
Coach to quarterback.
On the Saturday.
Here's
game,
what we're
Pep
doing.
Hamilton,
we're going split, split right scat, 62 all in Z. I want you to look at the guy going down the middle.
He's telling the quarterback this as the play clock's going down.
25-second play clock, quicker. Games move quicker. It's not bad. Things change. Kickoff roll. Oh, my God.
You like it?
I kind of dig it because I think you got a chance to crease it.
I think it's interesting.
Because
I don't think it's great, but.
Well, you've got 18. Wait a minute. 20. So you got 19 players. Wait a minute. No, 20. It's 11 on 11. So you have 20 players and basically a 5-yard area.
11 on 11
all
is
lined up. So if your returner gets it and he could crease it, it's 1-on-1 with the kicker, man.
Oh, yeah, you're just saying. It's just, the kicker and returner don't count. Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking, okay, the kicker
18,
never counts. I never
19,
count the kicker.
Wait. 11 on 11 is 20. I'm like, what?
I'm so conditioned on 10 guys running, 10 guys running down. Okay. It's never the full 11. I think that's neat. If you're going to tweak it, instead of just giving them the damn ball and a touchback to eliminate the concussion rule because we don't want players get concussions because it's contact sport, at least give them a chance to run it back.
How about when they were down big at the end of the, it's like Seattle was coming back and Jim Zorn, your favorite Jim Zorn, he's like, we're going to go for 3 if we score. It was like, wait, wait a minute. They're going to go for 3.
It's like Wiggy. It's like Wiggy.
Go for 3.
Yeah.
going to go for three. 17 is a two-score game.
But if a 60-yard field goal count for four. Yeah. It entertained me. It did. I thought the production value was good.
Did you sit and watch the whole? I watched like bits and pieces for like 5 minutes.
So I did that on Saturday and Sunday, like five minutes here, five minutes there, catch it in passing. I did go back and watch some of the extended highlights of Saturday's games, and I just think the level of play
is
and
better
the coaching
than
and the offenses that they're running are much better than what we've seen in some of these other leagues.
Yeah,
it is. But I watched the end of the Saturday game. The what was it? DC and Seattle.
Comeback, yeah.
Yeah. And Seattle's driving down their truck. You know,
Houston, wasn't it? No. What's DC?
Seattle. I don't know.
That's the same game I was just talking about. Zorn. Jim Zorn was a coach.
Yeah, whatever. Seattle. He's going to be gone by next year. Who cares? But, you know, I'm watching as they're trying to drive down. And who's the quarterback for Seattle? Exactly. We don't even know. You're watching the game. I don't know either. It's like, this is it. He's got to complete one pass. Pass rusher comes off the right side, and there was the most half-hearted attempt to block him. And just kind of like kind of pushed him off to the side. He got sacked on the very next play. He threw it, not a deflected ball, not a bullet, right into the chest of the corner, again, over to the right side, and it bounced off the corner's chest. Like, you know, that's a pick six. That's, you know, that's or however many they get for, they probably get an extra 2 points for an interception and running it back into the end zone. I don't even know. But those two plays back to back, I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah.
What do you want? But I don't watch bad NFL teams either if I don't have to.
Here's the problem,
I don't watch bad college football. I'm not going to watch this.
With that stupid AAF, the lighting and production value was terrible. The stadiums were never full. You know, you couldn't even have 100 people in the stadium.
The signage was mediocre.
Can't polish a turd, Beavis.
There's
no point in it. Oh, the production value. The football's not good.
Fans, you could hear. But the fans got after it.
They had no idea what they were going to see.
They played it in smaller stadiums, so the stadiums looked fuller.
Yeah, MetLife,
like
really
stadiums.
Small.
And it looked like, okay, maybe you got something here.
Did you see how they incorporated the gambling?
Stadium. They played in the ballpark in Arlington. Those aren't small places.
Yesterday's was worse than Saturday's.
Did you see how they did the gambling, though? Just next to the team's name.
Oh, my God. The over-under was there at the bottom. Who cares?
But that's it. It wasn't changing like in-game betting or anything. Yeah. It was the same for the entire
game.
Because,
Hardy, when you're watching an NFL game, getting a hold of the spread's really hard to do. Yeah, it'd be so much better if they'd put it right on the screen.
Spreads right there on the screen. Yeah. Like I'm going to bet on an XFL game.
What is your draft?
Here's the question. What does the spread matter if it's not in game? What does it matter once the game starts?
What does the spread matter if I'm not going to bet it? Who cares?
Maybe we should start doing our picks for the weekends, get to our weekly pick segment back and get RJ.
I just think the level of play is just based on, again, small sample, was better out of the gate than what we saw in Arena League or what we saw in the AAF or what we saw in the UFL. It looked like it was a little bit better coached out of the gate. My opinion of this is, yes, professional broadcast, big networks, all that stuff. What's going to draw people to watch it every week? Forget week one.
Johnny Manziel.
3 weeks from now, who's watching?
Yep. Right. Names.
People
Colin they
know. Kaepernick.
So said it. You're watching for the production value. You're watching for the coach to quarterback communication.
Well, that runs out
you're
quick.
You're watching for the referee stuff. Yeah, you're watching
that's a
for all the novelty
stuff. Then you need to start adding
your names. But those novelties wear off. So again, a month from now, when we hit March 10th, why are people still watching the XFL? That's my question.
There it gets nice out.
I'd pay Kaepernick to play in it. If you really want to play.
Do you really have nothing else to do? Do you have no other team that you want to watch or sport that you want to watch that also has good production value? I mean, over the weekend, between the Celtics and the Bruins and Michigan State, for me, hell, I was watching the golf. Great production value on that. Shot tracer, everything
else.
Duke Carolina Saturday night.
Duke Carolina Saturday
night.
And
that's Saturday night. It was
by the way, the end of that game, I'm like, oh, this is torturous. But I watched it because I actually know these teams. I care something about
yesterday
them.
Afternoon.
I'm texting with my sister because she knows she's down there in Durham. Like, this means something. This other game, these XFL games, they don't mean anything. You're trying to get me to care about something that didn't even exist 15 minutes ago. Why? How could I possibly care who wins this game?
You know what the solution is, Hardy? A longer NFL season, which is now on the table.
We'll tell you the update on that. What they're banking on is people who just love football, and I think they're missing something. People love their teams.
Watched.
There's a lot more people who love their teams than love the sport of football,
right.
And they just don't love football enough to watch two teams they don't care anything about.
17 games in the NFL is getting closer to a reality.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
First, our introduction. Zolak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's rock and roll.
The NFL could have 17 games by as soon as 2021. That's the word. Talks have picked up. Apparently, there's no progress being made. The NFL has included the means to extend their regular season to 17 games in their new CBA. Mm-hmm. So all the involved parties are going to get together. They're going to talk about this. But nothing's sort of agreed upon, but it feels like it's moving in that direction. So the NFLPA sort of gave the proposal to their players. Okay? The NFLPA, Damaris Smith and the NFL met last week, and their biggest issue is apparently the 17-game schedule. Although I think the union, according to some reports, is sort of telling players, like, guys, we're going to have to do this because this is the way it's just going to go.
Yeah. The four preseason games and the joint practices have thrown preseason football into just another stratosphere. Like, people don't want that fourth game. 3-17. You get the extra week, right? And only one team gets a bye, but the same amount of teams make the playoffs. That's the structure for that format, right? One team gets a bye, same amount of teams get in, two byes.
So the NFL wants to add an extra game. Players under the proposals, I guess, would get a much larger share of revenue with the new CBA.
Mm-hmm.
It would go higher than the 48% that they are currently at. And there's some, I guess, motivation to get a deal done before next month, which just seems insane to me. But anyway, they want to go to 17 games. And NFL players are reportedly split on this. There are some union reps, players, player reps that don't like it, that are against it, don't want to go to 17 games. You know, there are some that are okay with it. Let's just talk about 17 games. I think it would suck. I think they're making a huge mistake going to 17. And if you're going to expand, at least do it right and go to 18. A balanced schedule. 9 at home, 9 on the road. No rotating more home games, more away games for certain teams.
That's where it gets tricky.
That's stupid. And here's another reason why. Why are you only getting rid of one preseason game and creating the same problem? Now you have an odd number of preseason games. First of all, you don't need three of them. The teams barely use them as is.
They use one game, if that. They use like it for half.
You want to make your fans happy, your season ticket holders? Make them buy one preseason game, not two.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you go to two preseason games that hopefully the teams actually use to their advantage, which they're currently not. They don't like them. Okay, use the two preseason games, eliminate two preseason games. The fourth one is already, they take a hard pass on that one. The first and fourth are like totally useless. So take some passes on those. Two preseason games, 18 regular season games. Why are they screwing around with this 17-game idea? Is this because the players won't make that jump to 18? Because the ones that are already fighting 17?
Correct.
So they're going to have to inch their way.
The middle. Yep.
They're going to have to inch their way toward
the next
it?
CBA.
That is stupid.
Yep.
That's That's stupid for everybody.
Here's where we're going to get screwed, too, is these teams are like half tied into the London trips, these soccer-owning franchises. You're going to get screwed, too, because you're going to lose another home game.
Here's an idea. Here's an idea, NFL. Do the right thing for once. Give your players something that you otherwise wouldn't want to give them, like better injury protection, better health care when they're not playing anymore, things of that nature, to actually entice them to say, guys, let's do this right. Let's do the 18-game schedule and then come to the table with something that will entice them.
Yes, cost money.
Yes. For once in their life, the NFL is going to have to pay for something. Yep. And you know what they're going to do when they have 18 games? Make a boatload more money. So I think they'll be okay.
Yep.
So the billionaire owners can maybe for once actually do the right thing and pay for something. And that way, they'll get their 18-game schedule. They'll be happy. Their revenues will be up. We'll be happy because there's only two preseason games now, not four, which are a complete waste of time.
Four and bad.
So players, owners, get together and at least do this right. You should all be motivated to do this right. 17 games. What a wreck. Nothing about 17 games makes sense to me. Nothing. Other than just tacking on a game for the sake of tacking on a game. That is stupid. You're really accomplishing your goals with that?
That is ridiculous.
The preseason is the biggest problem that they have right now, and that has to be addressed in some way, but the NFL has got something right now that other leagues would desperately want, but they can't accomplish. They've got people wanting more at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful thing.
They got people. You know? They got 3.3 million football fans tuning in to the XFL because they need their football fans.
I mean, which they probably would like to imagine monetize if that, was that a little bit. But, you know, in baseball, games are too long. There's too many of them. Even as, you know, we watch hockey and basketball, like 82 games. And, my it's God, at this time last year, you know, the Blues were barely climbing out of the cellar. They go on to win it because the season's too long. There's too many games. The players feel that way. It's too long in duration. It's too long in number of games. The NFL has it. They've got it. They've got the golden egg, 16 games. They still have to deal with injuries. They still got to factor in a bye. And it's still 4 months long, but it's enough. And for the most part, people want more at the end. Why do you want to mess with that?
Because they're idiots. Because they want to get more revenues. Because revenues must increase. Because if revenues are not going up, then they are failing in their mind. So that's why they're going to do it. And I think it's going to be... Listen, if it were up to me, I'd say don't change a thing. Don't change your playoff system. Don't add more teams to the playoffs. Don't add games to your regular season. I'm with you. They've got a great thing going that they should not tinker with. But it's inevitable.
They've been talking about moving divisions around, too. Keep the divisions the same. You'll need to be moving teams around. They've talked about all kind of restructure topics.
No. You know what it is, Hardy? They're just not making enough money in the NFL.
We need to do more.
They're just not making enough money.
I mean,
still profitable, and it's probably still growing, but not quite
enough. Not at the rate they want it to.
Even if growth is slowing and revenues are still on the rise, but you see it start to slow down a little bit. Well, we got to do something. They got to do something.
I got the draft. They cover the draft now. That thing's expanded. I got 7 days of combine coverage. What more can you have? They want more. Fans want more.
Listen.
I try and do it.
In 2018, which I think was the latest official set of data that we have on the NFL revenues, they were at $14.48 billion. And then it went to nearly $16 billion the following year. We know their goal. Roger Goodell's goal, which he set out, was that they need to get to $25 billion by 2027. That's what the league needs. He set that goal in 2010. It was a 17-year long-term goal. He said, we got to get to $25 billion by 2027. You're not going to get to $25 billion by keeping things intact, Artie. You got to get to $25 billion. So you have to.
That's the goal. You got to do it.
Having $16, $17, $18 billion a year in revenue, not enough. Need more. Need more revenue.
Yeah, and you say so, and I know you're just like playing devil's advocate. Well, fans want more. well, the fans want less preseason. Are you going to still force everyone to buy both those preseason games, the season ticket holders? Are you still going to try and convince fans that you need four preseason games? No other sport has the same proportion of preseason games to regular season games as the NFL. 20% of most teams' schedules are preseason meaningless exhibition games. 20%. You're still going to get what? What about that? Well, the fans don't want it. Well, fans don't always know what's best.
Yeah, of course, we're idiots.
But for the ones who say they want more football, and not all of them do, the majority don't. They say don't touch it. 62%, is that the number? 62% said they don't want 17 games.
I wonder if they'd feel better about 18 games, because I don't want 17 games. I want 18. And I don't want expansion at all.
He wants it all.
My preference is 16. But if we're going to add more, at least add 18. Go to 18.
Right. Do it right and get that preseason down to 2.
Couple of reports to get to that you will hear coming up next on both the Chargers, who parted ways with Philip Rivers officially today. They have now broken up. But also a report on Robert Kraft planning on letting Tom Brady go to free agency and doing it with purpose. We'll get to that next.
Oh. Hey, everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
Sports Hub. Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for. Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap when the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Say so, but setting someone free.
If you love it, you set it free.
Yeah.
If it comes back to you, it's yours. If it doesn't, it was never meant to be.
More on that in a minute. A brand new report from Ian Rappaport that just happened on NFL Network.
Well, that tone changed, huh?
Get to that in a minute. George in Warwick, though, had an Alex Cora point. I don't want to leave you waiting any longer, George. Go ahead.
Hey, appreciate your feedback on your take on that. As I listened to it, I thought, well, maybe he's not the band leader. Maybe he was more Ringo Starr replacing Pete Best and really maximize what was already in place there. And on just a second, maybe deeper level, interest of only to me, I find it interesting Ludhauer's involvement, not just here, but how strongly the Cardinals were concerned at their loss to the Houston Astros of him, that they had that FBI conviction on the espionage, electronically reaching into Houston and accessing their database, etc. So he's a really interesting individual right there, a person of interest from a number of perspectives.
Well, I mean, he wasn't on the wrong side of the hacking scandal, right? And that was St. Louis hacking the Astros, right?
Yep.
So I don't know. I mean, yes, he was tied into that. So who knows what he knew before he had made the transition. But to the report, Pete Best versus Ringo Starr. And I don't think that's a good analogy. Hardy, you raised an eyebrow at that too.
I understand what he's trying to say.
Who was he replacing in that dugout?
Well, he enhanced what was already started there.
Yeah. It didn't start until 2017. The intern presented the algorithm in September of 2016, the end of the season. What's the matter, Zoe? What?
It was Pete Best.
Oh, he was the original drummer in the Beatles. let's get to this report. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network. That's what I get for taking a call. That's what I get for doing the right thing this week. Stupid me. Here's Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, on Robert Kraft and the Patriots and Tom Brady.
Well, there is a pretty good reason that owner Robert Kraft and Tom Brady, who have worked closely on several deals in the past, there's a reason why the option was to allow Brady to test free agency, to not get franchised, to not get transitioned, just to have a clear path toward free agency. And from what I understand, Kraft's thinking on this was basically if the sides came together, if Brady decided that the Patriots were his best option after testing free agency, and if Bill Belichick, who of course is making the decisions for New England, if he decides that Brady is his best option at this price, then in the end, after all of this, after going through everything, that it will mean that it's basically meant to be and that it's the best thing for all sides. Kraft wanted them to get apart, to see what's out there, and try to come together in the middle. And the hope is, if that works out for 2020, that everyone will be happy they went through the process.
Wait a minute.
Am I understanding this right?
Come together in the middle?
I think so.
He wants Bill to see what life is without Brady and Brady to see what life is without the Patriots. Is that?
No. Just during that free agency period. He wants him to test the waters.
He wants him to go see.
Yeah, that's my point. That's
how good
saying.
How good it looks here, so he wants as opposed to other places.
Coach and quarterback, right?
He wants Belichick to explore his options, Brady to explore his options, and hopefully they can come to the...
But he wants Brady to go out and see, I really don't want to play for anybody else, and then Belichick to see, oh, God, everyone in this free agent market blows. That's what he wants?
And in the meanwhile, you got to move that $13 million down the road, probably, because...
Yeah,
that's not a problem.
It's not a problem.
You've been adamant about that, that this is so silly.
It sounds like they're prepared for it. They're prepared to move that money down the road.
Yeah,
which they should be.
You're right. Jim's been all over that. He can't stand how everyone keeps
when that happens, you
like
hide
they
that.
Can't kick it down the road again.
Responses to that video on Twitter is like, oh, the $13 million, the $13 million, the $13 million.
You hide it with a rookie.
$13 million.
Whenever Tom retires,
bury that in 2023.
Bury with a rookie.
Or 2022. Worry about that on your own time.
What happened to the $30+ million though that he reported a week ago on Super Bowl Sunday? But we're going to meet in the middle somewhere.
No, he didn't talk about money.
Rappaport had the $30 million though.
Yeah, but he's not talking about money in this report.
I know that, but the Patriots were prepared to pay north of $30 million.
He didn't say they're not. He didn't say they're no longer prepared to.
I don't think Bill would be. I don't know.
Where's this story coming from?
What story?
Zoe's story?
No, this one. The one we just played.
Oh, ownership?
Sounds like it's coming from a...
This could only come from one place.
That's Robert.
The owner.
Yeah. I mean, you don't quote the... He's not quoting him.
Let me just say this.
Too many factoids there.
I like that Robert Kraft is able to think like three steps ahead here and be like,
I want you two to appreciate each other. This is like having two kids fighting.
Let me scheme for these two to get back together. Seriously. And think it was their idea. That I love.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You two. Hardy, you got two kids. You guys want to fight? You know what? You don't like the way I'm handling it? Why don't you go get another dad? Why don't you go see how that works out?
What gets a deal done?
See how many things you have fun with there.
What always gets a deal done?
Money.
Any deal.
Money.
Oh, a deadline. He's taking the deadline and pulling it away. And he knows each of those guys probably have so much respect for him that they're going to honor his request.
Yeah. And this
he's pulling the deadline away.
Pulling the deadline away means that 13.5 ain't jack to them. Like, we'll take
who cares about the 13.5?
The deadline
talk about
gets
a deal.
Done.
A lot
but
of people do. You got to get the deal done
that. You're wrong. You say that a deadline gets a deal done only when you have two willing parties. When you have two parties that are actually interested in getting a deal done. And right now, I don't know if he has that. So I would not accuse him of taking away a deadline and as if it's something significant here.
Everybody's looking at the 16th or the 18th as two points in the future that are must-have dates that you need to get
something
done.
Are Brady and Belichick looking at them that way?
I don't know, but Kraft, he just diffused the whole fan base by not worrying about those dates anymore. You don't have to worry about those dates. We've already discussed this. We're going to let him as free agency.
We're good with him at free agency, and we're fine with the 13.5. We'll eat that at some point down the road.
Only matter if it matters to the two guys involved.
Have those dates matter to us and to fans?
Sure. Do you think it's like a PR move that he's done?
How does this affect Brees?
He's taking that story out of the equation with this story.
So you had Rivers go to free agency today. He said he's done. They came to agreement there. Brady's hitting free agency. What's Brees thinking right now? You need decisions to be made in Tennessee.
What is the Chargers report? There is another one.
Oh.
Can we hear that one too? There's a Chargers report about interest there. What is it?
Well, hang on a second, Andrew.
Go ahead.
Mike mentioned the kind of quarterback that Anthony Lynn wants. They have one. He does seem to favor a more mobile-type quarterback. They have one in Tyrod Taylor. They've also done a lot of work on the quarterback position in the drafts the last 3 or 4 years. I would not be surprised if they take a quarterback potentially very high in the draft. So then you start to figure out, what do they actually want? Could they be players for for Tom Brady. And Andrew, I know this is the direction that you were going. From my understanding, if Brady does become available, this is a team who would potentially throw their hat in the ring for Brady for a year or maybe two.
Okay, I forgot Tyrod Taylor's here. Cam Newton ain't going there. If you're them, I keep Tyrod Taylor and I draft a young kid. And Taylor's a bridge guy. They ain't win anything anytime soon. Do you think they're going to overtake the Chiefs? They can't fill a damn stadium. Anthony Lynn's still your head coach. Yeah. They got a nice talent on the outside. I don't think Brady would want to go there. I don't. Tyrod Taylor's there. You draft a young kid. Taylor gets it until he loses a gig. That makes sense. No Cam Newton there. I'll scratch that off the list.
Today's takeaways.
No Tom Brady there. Sorry to cut you off. But
yeah.
If Rappaport's in one breath saying Brady's going to hit the market, and in this story he's saying if he hits the market, they'll be interested, he already knows there he's hitting the market.
I don't know. In or out? Snip, snap, snip, snap.
It makes no sense. The timeline makes no sense on those two reports.
That's just him throwing stuff against the wall there. Just trying to keep stories alive.
Today's takeaways are coming up next.
Hey, everyone. It's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand.
Give it to me. Give it to me.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Hey, time for today's takeaways brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. What are you waiting for? Time's running out. Get your free consultation right now. Give them a call. Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Check it out at awaken180weightloss.com. Got a lot of nicknames for Nick. Almost nearly dead Nick. A lot of things rhyme with Nick we could come up with.
Like, work on that. Why don't you give us an example?
No.
Why not?
I'll call Paige after this. We'll do it.
What rhymes with Nick? Tell me.
Prick. Mick. Lick. Stick. Rick. Bick. Bick lighter.
That's good. Good job.
Sick.
Yep. Also.
Tick. TikTok.
Right.
How's your tick?
Re-entry Monday on Felger Mass coming up at the top of the hour here on the Sports Hub.
That'd be a good one.
Did you catch the Celtics last night?
Did not.
That was a hell of a win for that team. Entertaining. Very entertaining. Good win.
A little more exciting at the end than it needed to be.
Well, I mean, they came back in the game, so. I mean, you mean like the final minute or so?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't feel like the game was in doubt, though, did you?
It bothers me when you see the team get the ball and they're at home and they come across half court and they're setting up to run a play with
winning plays
with 7 seconds left, but thank goodness for Marcus Smart, that final steal.
Winning plays.
That's all he does.
Winning plays.
That's right.
That was a winning play by Marcus Smart, but also two dagger threes by Kemba Walker in the closing minutes of that game. Just daggers. Big time cojones. Big shots.
How's he handling the winning?
Kemba Walker, by the way, they've won 7 straight now, is it?
They're hot right now, yeah.
And I think it's 7 straight over playoff teams, too. Current in the playoff teams now.
He's only been involved in 37-plus win seasons 3 times in his career.
All right, here's...
Right?
We were going to say, Jim, you had something?
Is Atlanta like the 8 seed or something? Because they beat Atlanta a couple times. I don't know if they're all playoff teams.
No. I'm not saying that they're all playoff teams. That the last 7 playoff teams they've played,
they've beaten
as well, in addition to the 7 straight. Yeah, that's what I meant by that. I'm sorry. Thanks for allowing me to clarify. Here's Kemba. Playoffs, something he's not used to. Playoffs. Yeah.
Did that feel like a playoff simulation with the way you guys had to balance your offense?
You're acting the wrong guy with the playoffs.
That's like the anti...
It's anti-LeBron.
Kyrie. Like, it's sort of funny. It's good-natured. It's...
He's making fun of himself.
Making fun of himself.
Which is great.
Like,
that you need... anybody that can do that.
So he hits the threes, and then he also is able to joke about the fact that he's never played in the playoffs after the game. I don't know if it's a playoff simulation. I don't even know anything about the playoffs. I've never played in those. Don't ask me about playoffs.
And then years ago, you asked LeBron about a regular season. What do you ask me about a regular season game?
Right.
Dude, I've been to like seven straight finals, okay? So yeah, don't bug me. Whatever.
I'm a career loser.
Don't ask me about
the playoffs.
Regular season game in Boston?
I'm the wrong guy.
Right.
Just something that
maybe this guy's going to want
Kemba a little bit more likable as if he wasn't likable enough already. Just like that guy. Again, it's just a nice Celtics season. Very nice. I don't know how far this lasts, but nice team.
Start to see the reaction of the rekindled trade that was pulled off with the Bets deal and Price and all that. I'm starting to think like, wow, Sox fans are getting excited about this. They become like Celtic fans.
No.
Like, trade is good. Walk on. No. Now this all starting to make sense. No. Everything's making sense now. Red Sox pulled it off.
All right. Did you watch the Oscars last night.
Hell no.
Hardy, did you?
Yeah. I got to see a movie first to watch it.
I saw a majority portion of the Oscars. I did watch the Drew Bledsoe E60.
Oh,
as well during the Oscars.
He's not over it. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah. Might pull some sound from that. That was a good watch. What do you got there? Did you enjoy Joaquin Phoenix at the end of the night?
You know, we go into the natural world and we plunder it for its resources. We feel entitled to artificially inseminate a cow.
Yep.
And when she gives birth, we steal her baby.
Yep.
Even though her cries of anguish are unmistakable. And then we take her milk that's intended for her calf, and we put it in our coffee and our cereal.
Drink it black.
And I think we fear the idea of personal change because we think that we have to sacrifice something to give something up.
Okay.
But human beings.
You know, all I could think about while you made this speech.
Just swing.
All I could think about was, who does he sound like and who does he look like? And I thought of who it is as he delivered that same cadence. He sounds like Alan from The Hangover, and he looks like Alan from The Hangover, too.
My question is, if Joaquin...
Do you have the scores of the football games on that thing by any chance?
Joaquin Phoenix can pull off Joker and these other roles.
He's been very good at
Johnny Cash. Can you get up on stage to accept your award and act like a normal person for 90 seconds? Just get up there and act. Act like somebody who's not a complete loon accepting an award at the Oscars. Because you know he's not like that all the time. People wouldn't work with him.
I'm curious to know.
He's up there and he's all like...
He's really worried about his artificial inseminated cows.
Tell people to quiet down as soon as he gets up there. Oh, stop it. That's an act.
How do they artificially inseminate the cows?
Yeah, take it. And
you want me to show you?
I did it. The horse. Come here. They did this to me at Louisville. I told you that. We went out there. And
I know, because Zoe's told us how
they... I'm not going to Louisville. They tried to get me to inseminate a horse out there.
You need long glove, and I don't mean like a dishwasher glove or even a fireplace glove. I mean one that goes all the way up to the shoulder.
They put a glove on you to the shoulder. You watch Dirty Jobs?
Jackass.
Yeah.
All you have to do is watch Jackass.
Really? Well, they inseminated a cow?
Hey, Stu, you like steak?
What was it? Zoe, was that a horse? Or a cow? Steve-O.
That was a cow.
It was a cow?
Cow.
Steve-O?
Cow. You gotta get in there. And
what do you do? What do you get in there? Squeeze? You give it a squeeze?
Squeeze something.
And we're back tomorrow at 10. Join us for that good time. Felger and Maz are next.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati on a Monday. Our Mondays are re-entry Mondays, meaning everything from the weekend we have to get to. Re-entry Mondays here on Felger and Maz are presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Felger and Maz presenting sponsor here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and NBC Sports Boston, where we are simulcast across New England and the country, is, as always, DraftKings. Maz and Murray alongside. Hi, fellas.
Could you?
Hello.
Peachy, thank you so much. Hi, Jim. We've got, I think, everything on the board today. I think we got all four on the board. We have the events of the weekend with the Red Sox. We've got Brady developments, and the Brady to Dallas thing will not die, thank God. Hey, everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're member FDIC.